We continue today with our study of Mishnayos, Meseches, Kelim, with lesson number 46. We're still in the 12th Perek. Today we will do the 4th and 5th Mishnah, Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Dalet, and Mishnah Hei. Today we are learning some detailed halachos about Masmerim, which we usually translate as nails, metal nails, although some of these nails are quite long, obviously, as we learn about their function. So they're more like long rods than the kind of nails that we imagine. Masmer Hagoro. Tome. Masmer Hagoro, there are two main pshotim, two main interpretations of what this is, both quoted by the Bartanura. One is that the Masmer Hagoro is the needle which a makis dam, a person who's a bloodletter, nowadays a physician's needle, or a needle which is used to extract blood and for some medical purpose, is tome. It has a definite function. Some say that this Masmer Hagoro is not at all a physician's or a surgeon's or a bloodletter's needle, but rather it is a kind of a small rod or needle which lies upon the anvil of the blacksmith. So that as the blacksmith, if the blacksmith has hot metal, which he needs to break, and he can break it easily because it's now hot and almost molten, so he breaks it along this sharp metal which he has placed upon the anvil. The Farshim say the anvil itself is not mekabel tumah, because it is pshute kliets, but this masmer on it is mekabel tumah. The shel even hashos, however, the nail which is inserted into a sundial. So you have a sundial made of a flat rock, and on it, in the middle, around it, you paint the hours, like we have around a clock, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 12. You place the nail vertically in the center of this circle, and the shade of the nail tells you what time it is, because the shadow is cast upon the points of the circle, which correspond to the numbers of the hours, which correspond to the movement of the sun, or the seeming movement of the sun around the sky and casting a different shadow upon the nail as it goes along. So this is tohor. The reason it's tohor, the Mefarshim say, because since it's kavua, it's permanently affixed to the stone. Therefore, it is like part of the ground. It is mishamesh lekarka, and therefore it is tohor. However, Rabbi Tzodok metame. Rabbi Tzodok, who we're encountering for the first time in this masechta, feels that the Even Hasho'os is tome, is mekabel tuma, because sometimes it is moved. It's not permanently affixed to the stone. Masmer Hagardi, the weaver's nail. This is a long nail which the weaver uses to straighten out the vertical threads in the loom, in the weave. And when he does not need it for his purposes, he simply sticks it into the wall next to his workplace. So that is tome. That is mekabel tumah. Even though most of the day it might be inserted in the wall, therefore you might think it's not mekabel tumah, but since it is a useful, a functional tool that the gardi, the weaver, needs, it's considered, its ikar is its function, not its place on the wall, and therefore it is mekabel tumah. V'oron shel grosos. An oron shel grosos seems to be a very large container, very large container, large enough so that it's permanent and it has thick wooden walls, it would seem. And it's used for ground beans, something maybe akin to what we call today tachina. It's a product made from pulim, but ground pulim. That's what's called grisim. And it's so heavy and so large that to move it to the market, you have to put it upon a wagon. So Rabbi Tzadok Metameh, Rabbi Tzadok says it is mekabel tumah, because he feels that this oron is a kli in and of itself, even without the wagon, which is necessary to bring it to market. But v'chachomim mitaharim. The Chachomim say that this Oron is not Mekabel Tumah, because they say that since without the wagon it's not useful, not a complete keli, it's just temporarily there. So as long as it's not affixed to the wagon, it's not Nigmur HaMalachto, it's not a finished product, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. This is one approach to understanding the Machlokas, Rabbi Tzadok and the Chachomim. Others say simply that the machlokas is this. The Chachamim say that this is such a large object that it is a kli eitz he'osur l'naches. It is a wooden vessel which is made to rest in one place. It's not made to be moved around. And therefore, it's not mekabel tumah, whereas Rav Tzadok says, since sometimes you do move it from place to place, it is mekabel tumah. The Mishnah concludes, Hoiso agolo shalo shel mateches, if the wagon, now the wagon is the platform upon which you place this oron, and it's a platform which has wheel, a flat platform which has wheels attached to it. So if it's made of wood, it would not be mekabel tumah because it's pshute kliyetz. It's just a flat platform. However, if it's made of metal, it is temeya, it is mekabel tumah because it is pshute klei mateches, a flat platform made of iron, which is mekabel tumah, especially in the case of this agola, this wagon, since it is made for a definite function, namely moving the oron shel grosos to the marketplace. Mishnah Hay continues with the dinim of various masmerim, different shaped nails or long rods of metal. Masmer shehiskino lihiyos poseach v'noel bo, a nail which is made to help open the door. It's made like a key, so it's bent in order to be able to be inserted into the lock and to somehow spring the lock, open the lock, or move the bolt inside the door so that the door opens. This is mekabel tumah because it obviously has a definite function. The Rambam adds in Hilchas Kalim in his Mishnah Torah that just a plain old nail that we see in a hardware store is not mekabel tumah because a nail is generally made to be banged into a wall. So it's meshamesh lemechuba lekarka, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. But a nail which is fashioned in such a way that it can be used to spring a lock, to open the door, is mekabel tumah. But he'osur lishmira, if a nail is placed by a door, just lishmira, meaning I want to be sure that no one has entered the door that I've closed behind me. So I place a nail right down by the door so that anybody who opens the door, maybe not even aware of it, he will have to move the nail in the process. And this way I can tell whether someone has gone into my house or not. So this is a masmer ha'osur lishmira. It's made to guard the door to make sure no one else went into it. So this is tohor. This is not mekabel tumah because this is not considered a real vessel, a real purpose with a function. You could really put any object near the door. If it's inobtrusive, it will serve the same purpose. The Mishnah continues, masmer shehiskino lihiyos poseach bo es hechovis. A masmer which has been fashioned in such a way that it can help you prod open a barrel. Now, the barrels of those times were kli cheres, and they had a magufa, they had a lid tightly affixed to them. In order to open that lid, to pry open that lid, you needed a needle, a nail, which was, at least at its point, very, very narrow to be able to fit into the crevice, the small crevice between the chovis and the magufa, and spring open pry open the magufa. So it had to be shaped in a certain way. Rabbi Akiva is metame. He says it is mekabel tumah because it is definitely has a shimush, has a definite function. V'chachomim mitaharin ad she yitzrefenu. The Chachamim say, no, it's tohor unless it is strengthened by fire. The Meforshim explain that to open a magufa, to open the pry open the lid of a chavis, you need a very strong opener. You need a very strong nail to be able to pry open the magufa. So therefore, stam nail is not strong enough, and therefore it is not mekabel tumah unless it went through the process of tziruf, it is forged, hardened by fire, then it has it's fully functional as a can opener, so to speak, to pry open this magofa. Masmer shel shulchani. A shulchani is a money exchanger. The money exchangers would have a shutters, S-H-U-T-T-E-R, which was suspended against the wall when they weren't in business. When they were in business, the shop was open to exchange money, they would take this shutter off the wall, and the shutter would become a flat table, and it would be placed upon stone or something with protruding nails. This is the Masmer Shel Shulchani, which was used to support the door, the shutter slash door, or shutter slash table, which the shulchani used. So the Tanakhama says, "Masmer shel shulchani tohor." It's not mekabel tumah because it is a part of the ground. It's affixed to the ground in such a way that it can support this shutter as a table. But Rabbi Tzadik mitameh, Rabbi Tzadik says, no, since you sometimes move these nails around, it is mekabel tumah. So we've had here three examples in which Rabbi Tzadik, who wasn't even mentioned in this Masechet until now, and by the way, will not be mentioned again for the rest of this long Masechta, but here he's mentioned in these two Mishnayos, Dalet and Hey. So our Mishnah summarizes this and draws this to our attention and says, Shlosha devorim Rabbi Tzadok mitameh v'chachomim mitaharin. There are three matters in which Rabbi Tzadok says it is mekabel tumah and the Chachamim say it is not mekabel tumah. One is the Masmer Shel Shulchani, which we just learned about, V'yaron Shel Grosos, which we learned about in Mishneh Dalet, U'Masmer Shel Evan Hashos, which we learned about in Mishneh Dalet. In all these three cases, Rabbi Tzadok mitamei v'chachomim mitaharim. So some explain that the reason why you have this strange ending where the issues of contention between Rabbi Tzadok and Chachamim are summarized is because since they are not listed in one place, they're kind of scattered throughout these two Mishnayos, so the Mishnah wants to bring them together. Others say that the next Mishnah, which we'll learn Mirat Hashem tomorrow, summarizes four issues over which Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim are at odds with each other. So we're kind of as a segue into the next Mishnah, our Mishnah summarizes, re-summarizes, reviews the issues over which Rabbi Tzadok and the Chachamim disagree. And so we have completed Mishnah Hey, and in the process completed lesson number 46.